Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome into the show and good morning. Bill Ryder with you. Happy NFL draft day. I'm in a hell of a good mood. You know, you can't, did some research on this. It's not able to vaccinate against mistakes in the NFL draft. However, turns out you can be vaccinated against the coronavirus, which I have done successfully. Second shot on Monday. So I wasn't here yesterday. I may or may not have slept 20 to 24 hours while I was gone. Like some kind of college kid again, minus the drinking. But I feel great. I feel like I got a suit of armor around me. I'm in good spirits. And we're going to delve into a pretty big day in sports as we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Thank you to Chris Moore for stepping in last minute yesterday, doing a great job on the show. Appreciate him. Appreciate Tom DiBenedetto, the executive producer of the program. Producer underscore Tom on the old Twitter machine. Andrew Bogus is going to join us. We'll hit some other things. We're mostly going to do NFL draft today. We can't ignore a couple stories in other sports. Robert Manfred, trying. There's a lot of things that are fairly unprecedented that are happening in baseball right now. From the remarkable Shohei Ohtani to the dominant Jacob deGrom to the bizarre Mr. Rizzo, Anthony Rizzo in Chicago, striking out one of the best hitters in baseball with a 61 mile per hour heater, because why not? And Robert Manfred wanted to get in on the act. And I love it when leaders see what's going on with the people they lead and they want to emulate them. And so in a commissioner first, Robert Manfred totally owned himself with a smile on his face, not knowing how ridiculous his words were. Just went out there, gave an interview, gave some information, and without knowing it, basically said, I don't know what I'm doing at my job. And we'll hit that later in the program. Turns out, as we've talked about here on the show, Chris Paul knows what he's doing in Phoenix. Huge win for the Suns over the Clippers. I want to hit that. And Nikola Jokic makes everybody feels all the feels, man. It was a foul. Zion got fouled. No, it didn't. Watch the tape. Watch the video. Don't be a Manfred. Don't be someone who is not smart, even though it looks like they're smart. Great win for Denver. We'll hit that later in the show as well. But I want to tackle the draft in a couple ways. Obviously, it is a really, really interesting NFL draft today, even beyond maybe how much it is worthy of our attention in normal years, because there's going to be a ton of quarterbacks taken early in the draft. Maybe the first four picks will be quarterbacks. Certainly the first three picks will be quarterbacks. That hasn't happened since 1999. And that'll give us a historical angle with which to look at this later in the show. And that means there are going to be some remarkable and remarkably talented players who are passed on who should not have been. There's probably a game-changing tight end in this draft, who may be taken number four, by the way. There's going to be, you know, maybe a handful of wide receivers taken with the first 20 or 23 or 24 picks. There's a number of guys who are going to be the kind of impact player that don't win the press conference tonight and tomorrow, but may win the day when we look back with the benefit of hindsight. I also think that there is this fascinating level of certainty attached to Trevor Lawrence. He will be the number one overall pick, combining with remarkable uncertainty. And I don't mean Urban Meyer can't work. I mean Urban Meyer may not work. It's a question mark. A lot like the Brooklyn Nets for me with Urban Meyer's tenure in Jacksonville. you know, he has pulled his own man, Fred, and several times expressed shock that the NFL operates the way that it has for so long. They've got uniforms and everything. It's really surprising. Did you know that there are pads? Yeah, Urban, we figured that out. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is a sure thing. I think Zach Wilson is the furthest thing in the world from a sure thing. But we know surely that they're going to go 1-2 tonight. And then the question marks start to pile up. Beginning with, of course, who the Niners take at 3. They moved up in the draft. They've told us over the last few days that they knew there were 3 guys that they wanted at 3. And that there were potentially 5 they could take as they made their evaluations. And I somewhat take them at their word. And the reporting that's come out, everything's a lie, or I should say 80% of everything is a lie and a smokescreen. I did a mock draft for my late great friend, Therese Paylor, for his foundation at Howard University. You can find it on my Twitter at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I hope you'll contribute. It's a worthy cause. And he was an incredible and wonderful guy. Covered the NFL nationally for Yahoo Sports. And so a lot of folks that knew and loved Therese or knew and respected Therese got together and did a mock draft. And I said to these guys, all these experts, like, you know, Jim Trotter's on there, all these dudes. And I said to the guy that ran it, like, look, I love Therese, but I would have called Therese for insight in the draft. I can't tell you who to draft 23. I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. And he said, no worries, we'll let you draft number 1. So it was like, I'm like Urban Meyer. Who knows how it's going to work out, but I am going to take Trevor Lawrence. That poor SOB. But we sort of shot the breeze and got some insight. And some of these guys, many of these guys do drafts for a living. Jim Trotter does not. But it was interesting, the surety with which people made pronouncements. And I'm talking about based on reporting that contradicted one another. One guy was certain, said, don't believe anything you hear. Everything's a smokescreen. It's Mac. He's the guy. He's going. Alabama quarterback to the Niners. And then another guy a little bit later said, well, Trey Lance is going to be the Niners guy, but I mean, since he's here at this spot, I'm going to take him. Very few people know. And I'm not going to waste my time telling you who should go at 3 because I'm going to maintain that the real question, it's interesting, right? I'm going to be sitting there on my couch with bated breath. I won't have a beer today because I'm still coming off the vaccine. I'm going to have some sparkling water if I'm feeling crazy and maybe still water if not. But I'm going to be on the edge of my seat to see who the Niners draft. Not because I'm concerned that the Niners are going to make a mistake. I'm more interested who is going to be, which of these quarterbacks is going to be thrust into the most likely position to succeed. And that's not a guarantee either. I think it's really hard to assess quarterbacks properly and how they're going to transition to the NFL. It's almost as hard to assess organizations and who, when we look back, is going to be the organization you wanted to be with. But that is the tail that wags the dog. That's the reality. Not as easy to talk about on sports talk radio. Not as easy to do mock drafts in that respect. Not as sufficient a way to fake your knowledge if you do that for a living. Not that everyone's doing that, but trust me, some are. So I just want to put this out there to you. I went through the 2017 and 2018 NFL drafts and looked at quarterbacks. And obviously, hindsight allows us to know that in 2017, Mitchell Trubisky to the Bears, subtracted from the sum of all human joy, unless you're a Packers fan. That did not work out. That Patrick Mahomes, my friend, the late, great Therese Paylor, called it on the show, was so ahead of it. In retrospect, I actually think it might be the greatest draft day move in NFL history. I mean, the Chiefs gave up, and I got to do those off the top of my head, first that year, a first the next year, and I think a third, I believe, is what they gave away to go up and get a quarterback that wasn't Deshaun Watson. Before Deshaun Watson's ugly accusations against Watson and those travails, that was a bit of a shocker. And then Deshaun Watson went to the Texans. I'm talking first-round picks. The next year, Baker Mayfield went number 1. Sam Darnold went 3. Josh Allen, who's been remarkable, went 7. Josh Rosen, who's a disaster, went 10. And now, former MVP, then question mark Lamar Jackson went 32. Let me offer this to you. I wanted to reverse engineer the draft. I wanted to see whether or not it holds, because I think it's true, that as significant or more significant a factor in what's going to happen tonight as it relates to quarterbacks that are drafted and their success is related to where they go as much as who they are. And this is something that Brady Quinn impressed upon me in conversations on and off the air. I'm a big believer that radio hosts, when it comes to these sorts of moments, should act more like journalists and less like the guy at the bar who's had one too many pints and is trying to talk louder to make himself sound smart. And look, I talk loud sometimes, and I like to try to sound smart. I know it's not working, but I'm not hating on the philosophy. But information, insight, nuance, people who have been there, that is, I think, where knowledge tends to lie. And Brady made a really compelling case to me, not as an excuse against his career not going the way it should have, but as an explanation. And I think that's an important distinction, because someone like Brady Quinn, who I consider a colleague and a friend and a really good dude, but a prideful dude, right? I mean, guy went to Notre Dame. Guy had a chance to be an all-world player, he thought, many of us thought. To admit his career didn't go the right way is its own kind of self-awareness. And he made an impression on me, and other quarterbacks have done it since, that where you go matters. So I went back to 2017 and 2018, and I redrafted in this sort of alternate universe. Just imagine, instead of teams getting to draft their quarterbacks, quarterbacks got to draft their teams. And let's just presume that for the sake of this conversation, an 855-212-4CBS, if you want to give us a call, let's presume for the sake of this conversation that these quarterbacks have a little bit of insight, right, on the direction the organizations are going. Maybe not all of the insight we have now, 3-4 years later, but some. Here are the teams that drafted quarterbacks over the course of those two drafts. The Bills, the Texans, the Browns, the Ravens, the Chiefs, Arizona, the New York Jets, and my Chicago Bears. 8 teams drafted 8 quarterbacks in the first round over 2 years. Here, and I think you could quibble with this, but here is, if I am the agent, right? If I'm Lee Steinberg, and I'm the agent for this quarterback, here's the order I'm drafting my team for my quarterback. First, I'm going Chiefs. You've got Andy Reid. You've got a remarkable culture. You've got, coming in, an all-world wide receiver. You have already an all-world tight end. You have a very impressive offensive line. You've got the perfect recipe for success. Next, I'm going to go the Baltimore Ravens. And I think all of us thought this when the Ravens drafted at what, the end of, I think it was the end of the first round. It was the end of the first round. It was the 32nd pick in that draft. Because you've got the right Harbaugh brother, with all respect to the other Harbaugh brother. And I don't mean right in the sense that the John versus Jim and success over their careers, even though obviously John's won a Super Bowl. Consistency and whatever that fire is in that Harbaugh family, the ability to internalize it, I think is important, right? A little less drama, a little less chaos, a little more controlled fury has created in Baltimore a remarkable culture, and some offensive excellence that you can see when you look back at Flacco and his ability to be great. The guy did it on the field, but for that kind of a quarterback to overperform over the course of a Super Bowl run, I think speaks to the people around him. I think third, I would have gone Bills, the Buffalo Bills. Now, you wouldn't have known at the time. Steinberg would really have had to done his due diligence and maybe tap into some psychic skills, but it turned out that Buffalo was building its own incredible culture, a really solid defense. They were going to, a few years into whoever became the quarterback, make a bold move and get a receiver like Stephon Diggs, and they were going to time that division in a way that maybe many of us didn't see coming. Fourth, I would have gone Cleveland. I think you can make a case for the Texans, and I want to take Deshaun Watson's travails out of this. I think it's Cleveland because they seem to be heading in the right direction. They've added talent. It took them a while on the head coach. The Texans are next. You could have made a case they're higher, but they're such a mess now. It's not like Bill O'Brien was some sunshine of a genius. And yet there were some pieces there, if you're a quarterback, you would have been pretty excited to play with. Then Arizona at 6 as the 6th best landing spot of NFL teams for a quarterback that of teams that would have drafted a QB in either the 17 or 18 draft. And I only choose Arizona because they weren't as disastrous as the Jets, followed by the Chicago Bears. And I was going to write like a CFL team in here, you know, but I guess that wasn't an option, because that's how bad the Bears are. And that would have gotten you Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, Cleveland, Texans, Arizona, Jets, Bears to not quite the right order, but close. It would have gotten you to Mahomes, followed by Lamar, followed by Josh Allen, followed by Baker, followed by Deshaun Watson, followed by Rosen, Darnold, Trubisky. Now, I obviously would take Darnold over Rosen. I would take Deshaun Watson over every guy not named Mahomes before the ugliness. But there's always going to be some talents, and they're rare. I don't know that Mahomes is one of them. Who are so talented, who are so gifted, that they're going to succeed wherever they go. Until they break down emotionally, or if the allegations are accurate, or morally, whatever the case may be. I mean, Peyton Manning was always going to be successful. I'm not sure if Tom Brady was. And Tom Brady is far and away the better QB. Would Aaron Rodgers have been better anywhere? I don't know. He ended up in a pretty good spot, as it turned out. And also the fury of being passed by the Niners. I saw the clip. I love the clip. Are you disappointed that the Niners passed on you? And he said it with, you look back, it looked at the time like he was nervous. It wasn't nervousness. He was furious. It's the kind of way your voice sounds when you're at a bar and you're like, I guess I have to go outside and get my face punched in by this big guy. They're not as mad as they're going to be that they passed on me. And he meant it. Maybe he's an exception. I think most guys aren't. Deshaun Watson probably is. But Josh Allen, really talented guy. Smaller school, big arm. They gave him time and patience. Josh Allen fails at every organization that's not one of these top three. Does he succeed in Kansas City? Of course he does. Does he succeed in Baltimore? There's no doubt. Remember, Lamar wasn't the starter until there was an injury to Flacco, and then Lamar got to step in. There wasn't a rushing kind of situation. But Josh Allen doesn't get time in Cleveland. No one's gotten time in Cleveland. He doesn't make it with the Texans. Bill O'Brien, you know, has an emotional breakdown and headbutts him or something crazy like that. Doesn't work in Arizona. They moved on from Josh Rosen in about 13 seconds. And the Jets and the Bears are the Jets and the Bears. My point is this. Do I think Justin Fields might surprise the world and succeed wherever he goes? And maybe not surprise the world, just surprise three or four of the GMs who think they're smarter than the game? Yes, I do. Is Trevor Lawrence great enough to overcome the possibility, and it's only a possibility, that Urban Meyer will be mired in his own dysfunction? I think there's a chance we're going to find out. Is Mac Jones really the guy? He might be if he goes to the Niners. He won't be, I think, if he goes somewhere else. How about Trey Lance? It depends where he ends up. And I know Trey did a bunch of interviews yesterday with Rome, with DA. Impressive young man. He is reading the Inner Game of Tennis, which I've talked about a lot, which I did not know that's a book that he's also been inspired by. It's not just a tennis book. It's not just a sports book. It's about life. That's impressive. But I think where he lands is going to be really important. Do I have a lot of confidence that the Atlanta Hawks a few years from now are going to be an organization that you'd want to be placed with as the quarterback? I don't have any confidence in that. I don't have a lack of confidence. They're in a rebuild. It's unknown. It's uncertain. You don't really know what they're going to be. I do know this. The 49ers have a tested track record of a head coach who knows how to get the best out of QBs, and now he gets to pick his own, and that pick will define his tenure with the Niners. So Kyle Shanahan is even 60% of what we still think he is. Whoever goes to the Niners is the winner on draft day. Not, it turns out, the Niners when they make that selection. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Give us a call. Give us some predictions. Who do you like at three? We'll talk some more drafts, and I might sneak in a little Chris Paul love because the world's upside down. We'll do that next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Happy draft day. Bill Ryder with you. We could also see some quarterbacks fall. It's so much speculation. It's based on reporting by the best out there, but there is misinformation that is intentionally injected into the media ecosystem. One of the insights I really got into how this works was when I started covering the NBA with a little bit of an eye to breaking news. That's mostly not what I do. Mostly I try to talk to people without having to ask them for the news they're going to give one of two other people to get insight and talk about and write things that are accurate. To basically sound smarter than I am, right? It's a lot easier if you talk to experts than if you just pretend to be one. But one of the things I learned is that GMs in the NBA, and I learned this to a lesser degree in the NFL, but have some sources there, trade information. They don't know what's going on in other organizations. They ask reporters that information, and they trade it. I'm you know, not to put anybody's business on Front Street, but I would certainly speculate that if your name rhymes with Koj and you break NBA news, you're probably giving as much information as you're getting. It's transactional. That's part of the deal. Or your name rhymes with Lefter. And that means that organizations don't know what reporters know a lot of the time. And so that's true in the draft as well. And so if you inject false information, not just on the record, but if you tell reporters lies, they may trade those lies, not knowing their lies, to get other information. So there are lies being presented behind the scenes as truth because reporters think they're true. It really is a weird double and triple game. It's like some kind of Agatha Christie novel for sports. It's very weird. It's the butler in the pantry with the tight end. No, it's actually not. We're drafting offensive linemen. And you could see as a result of that, just the chaos of draft day, if Kyle Pitts goes number four to the Falcons, and he could, he's probably going to be an all-world tight end, especially if he ends up in the right situation or what eventually is the right situation. I mean, the Bengals aren't taking a QB, and I think you probably believe the Dolphins aren't taking a QB at six. And then the Broncos, I think, will. And I find that trade really interesting. I think the Teddy Bridgewater trade is really cheap insurance. I think I said this to Tom. Teddy Bridgewater going to the Broncos, his name, right? The storyline, the narrative, what it allows fans and media to talk about is more significant than the actual compensation. A six-round pick ain't much. It's not like the Broncos have invested a lot. We might invest a lot in thinking about it, but I think, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is a Band-Aid, right? He is a stopover, and whether that's a season or four games probably depends on who the Broncos draft. Maybe they'll take some stud there who's not a QB, and maybe they'll take Justin Fields if he falls. You could easily look back. I think we could easily look back 2 years from now and regard the Justin Fields selection the way we did maybe Deshaun Watson as it relates to where the picks happened. Watson went 12 to the Texans, and the Texans went up and got him. Or maybe Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson fell all the way to the last pick of the first round and the first pick of the second round. Last pick of the first round to Baltimore. But I just mean in terms of a quarterback who is the most or one of the most. By the way, Justin Fields could be the second best QB in the draft and by far the most impactful if it turns out that he's great and Urban Meyer's not. Or Urban Meyer takes a while to get there. And all of a sudden, you could have, if Justin Fields falls to seven of the Broncos, it's an if, and if he's as good as I think he's going to be, and I think he will be, the Broncos don't ruin him or whoever drafts him, you could have a division where you've got Mahomes, who's an absolute stud. You've got Herbert, who's a stud, that was, by the way, not the first pick taken in that NFL draft, who went to a really good situation. And Justin Fields, who's a winner and might have a resurgent defense, and we'll see. There's an actual, this thing in Denver, it's new to Denver, there's this thing called a general manager who's making selections now instead of a guy that owns car dealerships and used to play quarterback in the National Football League. Look, I know John Elway was a great player, but thank all that is holy, Denver fans, he's no longer making selections for you. And you still would have Trey Lance out there. You know, this is the situation and how it fell. Really, it's if the Falcons pass on a QB, who knows who falls? Maybe it's Mac Jones, who knows? And if the Patriots like who's there, they could certainly go up and get the quarterback they want. It's not something Bill Belichick's done in the past, but neither is losing and the prospect of losing going forward. So who knows how that's going to motivate them. It's going to be really, really interesting. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number if you want to give us a call. I was going to talk some Suns. I'm not going to. I'll just say this. Chris Paul, big win over the Clippers. No Kawhi. Don't sleep on Phoenix. Don't sleep on Phoenix. Even now people are doubting him. I didn't give Amick too hard of a time because he was nice enough to come on, but maybe they'll make the conference finals. No respect. Phoenix is getting absolutely, and they didn't at the beginning of the year either. Come on. And by the way, would I personally, really in any of these slots, if I were a GM, draft Mac Jones? No, I would not. I would have some serious concerns that his success, his accuracy, his decision-making was the product of playing with remarkably superior talent and throwing the football to guys who are often open. I mean, I'm going to make a comparison, and I don't mean it in any sense other than the talent that they play with elevating the player, okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying attitude. But I think Johnny Manziel, what got lost in his transition because of all the things that through his own silliness and the mistakes that he made and the show that it was and the way we're all captivated by it that I think got lost is, and one of the questions at the time was, is Johnny Manziel the catalyst of that LSU team back in the day? Or Texas A&M team, or was he the beneficiary? I mean, he was playing with some pretty talented dudes, pretty talented receiver. I think there's a chance that that's true for Mac Jones. And I won't pretend to know. Nobody knows. GMs get this stuff wrong all the time. But for me, I'm a lot less confident that Alabama quarterback is a successful NFL quarterback if he doesn't go to the right place. And as best I can guess, I think that place is the Niners. But I wouldn't have guessed the Buffalo Bills were a good landing spot for anybody, particularly Josh Allen. I mean, you look at the Josh Allen story, that's not a sure thing. Go back. Go back to the coverage. Go back to the games. Go back to the tape. Go back to the stats, however you want to evaluate it. He didn't play well a lot of the time. He made the kind of mistakes that an insecure control freak head coach like Matt Nagy in Chicago, I'm serious, would have broken Allen rather than break his own sensitive ego that he's a genius, right? Yeah, maybe you're. It's amazing to me the guys that come off other actual geniuses and think they're the genius. I want to call it the Mario Chalmers effect. Mario Chalmers, when he was in Miami, actually believed he was one of the big three. You'd be like, oh, there's one of the big three. He would turn around. Here's some breaking news for Matt Nagy. You're not Andy Reid, bro. You're not Andy Reid. You're not even Doug Peterson. You got to go to the right spot. And it turned out the Bills were really patient. It was really impressive. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number here on the show. Andrew Bogus really missed me in my day of recovery. Bogus, when was the last time that you slept 20 out of 24 hours? Fitfully, to be fair, but like...
That's a good question. I have not, knock on wood, I have not been like that legitimately sick in a long time. It definitely was in this house, which I've lived in for 7 years, but I can't give you an exact date. But I do remember like one window where I was asleep for forever, from like an afternoon through the night and then through most of that next day.
Mine was Tuesday. Lori, my wife, several times came to check on me. And finally I was like, "Woo, are you checking on me? I'm sleeping." And I was like tired. And she goes, "I just want to make sure you weren't dead."
Okay. Sorry,
yeah, it's now Thursday.
I'm not dead. I woke up. So I got home yesterday from radio, right? And I got home at, 9:30 in the morning. And I was asleep at probably 9:45. I threw down some chicken noodle soup at 9:45 in the morning and went to bed. I woke up for a few hours to eat. And then I just casually woke up yesterday. Didn't know what day it was. Didn't know where I was. I usually set an alarm. And I felt so much better. But college maybe? Like when I would do finals, right? You do finals and then you just crash for 2 days, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been a huge sleeper period in my life. Like I never was a kid who like slept until 2 in the afternoon in high school or college. So I don't have many long lasting sleep stories. I'd love to create one when I get my second shot, but I think in a mistake by us, my wife and I are getting our second shots on the same day. So I feel like one of us obviously has to be tough here to like make the kids do school and whatnot. And I would really like to be like, oh, I don't feel well. I should lay in bed all day and watch TV and do nothing. But I can't do that if my wife is legitimately not feeling well. So what I feel like I put myself in a bad spot.
I got mine on Monday. But the only day I could get it. I'll say this.
Yeah.
I had COVID. I had antibodies before my shot. I got my first shot. It destroyed me. I think I worked through it. Right? I didn't call in sick, but it utterly and totally destroyed me. I was like blurry vision. And my doctor told me, like, this is a great sign. Your immune system's going to be ramped up, but you're going to be really sick on the second one. My doctor told me you're going to be sicker on the second one. And I didn't believe him like an idiot because several people were like, I had COVID. I was fine on the second one. Because, the rando guy who's like, oh, you'll be fine, knows more than your doctor. So I was not prepared for the impact. I'm glad I got it. I'm really glad I'm vaccinated. But most of my friends who have had the second one who didn't have COVID have a, it's not fun, it's not pleasant, but it's not the freight train that ran me over.
Right. So I had just the sore arm for probably almost 48 hours. My arm felt sore after my first shot. So I'm prepared for something on the second one, but I keep hearing that if you chug water, if you pound water, that helps a lot for some reason. So I'm prepared to chug water nonstop, and I don't get my shot till 5 in the afternoon. So I got a whole day of water drinking, hopefully to set the table for feeling okay the next day, but I've got no idea how I'm going to feel when I wake up that next morning.
We're going to do a very special show for you that day. I'm very excited. We're going to have some things prepared for you. to help you.
No. I've preemptively cleared my schedule. I'm not, because the thing is, for me, I can't wake up at 4 a.m. when I do normally and decide then that I don't feel well, because there's then all you know what breaks loose on here and other places, because there's not many of us awake at 4 in the morning to replace an anchor. So I have to preemptively. So I'm off.
Tom took 6 days off. Tom was like, I'm.
Yeah, I'm doing one for now. We'll see if we have to add on to that, but it's only one for now.
I should have taken days off. I was like, I'll be fine. I'm tough. And I crawled into a ball and cried.
I would not have been. Yeah, I would not have been okay the day after either. I didn't need the second day, but Pedialyte was my big trick. So the hydration thing. I mean, I was slamming Pedialyte, and it actually helped. I mean, yeah. So, and everyone's saying it. It really replaced those electrolytes. It does help. And drink water.
I didn't take any ibuprofen or Tylenol. They think you can afterwards. You shouldn't before, because it gets in the way of the immunity response. But I did a bunch of reading, and the literature and the science is it's probably okay. It's probably okay to take. So I just suffered through it. My wife was so she tried, like, you can't sneak Tylenol into a grown man, ibuprofen to a grown man. I'm not our kids. Here's some bubblegum sauce.
Put it in some applesauce.
I'm 43. I know what bubblegum sauce is.
But okay, I'll try it.
Just you can have a lollipop if you drink this red liquid that smells like medicine. Go away from me, woman. Leave me.
I'll get you some Pokemon cards.
Leave me to my pain. All right, what's going on, dude?
Well, 10 hours from now, we'll be at pick 1 or 2 in the NFL draft. The Niners are the first question mark at number 3. They have reportedly made up their mind between Mac Jones and Trey Lance and maybe Justin Fields. Meanwhile, multiple teams expected to begin poking San Francisco about a Jimmy Garoppolo trade, but the current assumption is the Niners will hold on to Jimmy G for the time being. The Broncos apparently still in play for a QB tonight, even though they traded for Teddy Bridgewater yesterday. The Panthers get back a 6th-rounder, and they'll pay $7 million of Bridgewater's $10 million salary. The Panthers have also picked up their 5th-year option on wideout DJ Moore. Bryce Harper took a 96-mile-an-hour fastball to the face last night in St. Louis. That happened in the 6th inning. He left with a bloody nose, but posted this on the Insta last night.
Everything feels good. Everything came back good. CT, all that kind of stuff. So, face is still there, so we're all good.
After hitting Harper in the face, his very next pitch from Genesis Cabrera went into the back of D.D. Gregorius, which brought Joe Girardi out of the Philly dugout. He wanted Cabrera out of the game, but got himself tossed instead.
He's got to go, right? If you're really protecting the players, obviously he doesn't have command. He's got to go.
Girardi actually threw the home plate umpire James Hoy out of the game for not throwing Cabrera out of the game, which he's not allowed to do, so that's why Girardi got tossed. The Phillies won the game 5-3. The Padres snapped an 11-game losing streak in Arizona 12-3. The Braves roughed up the Cubs 10-0, and the Red Sox a 1-0 win at the Mets. George Springer 0-4 in his Blue Jays debut, an 8-2 loss to the Nationals in Dunedin. The Yankees 7, the Orioles nothing, and the Astros beat the Mariners 7-5. Houston has won 6 of 7. The Suns are back in the playoffs for the first time since 2010, thanks to a 109-101 home win over the Clippers, and the Sixers clinched their spot by blowing out the Hawks 123-87. Joel Embiid's got big plans.
He's a long roll. You know, you got to be focused for it, and I think we have everything we need to make it happen. So it's all about us coming out and, you know, just, you know, dominating every game.
Once the playoffs begin, the Sixers once again a game behind the Nets atop the East. The Jazz embarrassed the Kings last night, 154-105. The Nuggets held off the Pelicans, 114-112, and Nikola Jokic blocked a Zion dunk with 2 seconds left. And the Lakers lost in Washington, 116-107, LA dropping to 8-12 without LeBron. And from the NHL, the Maple Leafs earned their playoff spot with a 4-1 win in Montreal. Bill, back to you.
Mr. Bogus, thank you, buddy. Let's do this in an hour. I want to ask Bogus and Tom who they would take at number 3 if they were making the decision, and I'll give you mine as well. I still maintain what's more important is that you're lucky enough to be the organization drafted by the Niners, but we'll give you our predictions and who we would select, which I think will be different things. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. I'm going to sneak a call in. Because this guy, I haven't heard this guy's voice in a minute. Regular caller, friend of the show, and we did in the evenings. Greg and Lake Charles is back. He's back. He's on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Greg?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm back, man. What's up? How you doing, man?
Where you been? We missed you.
Oh, man. I've been through a lot this last past year, man. It's been kind of rough on me, man. I'm still shaking. I'm still doing me. And I've been waiting to say this for a while. I retired it, but I'm bringing it back now.
Bring it back.
I wanted to say, what's up, Who Dat Nation? We back. Nah, man. Yes, sir, man. I'm happy to hear from you. I hadn't been on radio as much, lately and stuff. So, and then out of nowhere, I was, just listening to the radio and stuff. And then I heard, your show or whatever. And then they said that it came on at a certain time. So I had to call yesterday. And I was like, what time did my guy Bill Ryder comes on? So, like I said, man, I'm just, happy to be back, on the draft, man. I really haven't been paying attention as much. But the guy, Trey Lance, I hear a lot about him. Everybody saying that they like the upside and everything. But I can't get with a guy who's a vegan. I'm sorry, but that's just me. No, and, on the Saints, bro, I'm a Taysom Hill guy. I'm not a Jameis Winston guy. So, even though Jameis Winston, I feel like he good and stuff. But I'm I'm a Taysom Hill. I mess with him and And that's all I had to say, man. Like I said, man, I'm happy to hear from you, and thank you for taking my call, as always, man.
Greg and Lake Charles, God bless you, buddy. It's been a tough year for a lot of folks. Good to hear from you, man. Greg was a regular, great caller. Keep calling in, keep listening. Appreciate you. I'm with you. Jameis Winston was impressive in his emotion toward Drew Brees, but I still think he's more, Jameis Luston than he is Jameis Winston in the final equation. And I don't mind a vegan, although my dad was in the meatpacking business, and I'm not kidding when I say I could not have married one. I think I brought a vegan home, I would have been just kicked out of the house. My dad have chilled since then, but I'm the oldest. They hadn't chilled. Luckily, Lori likes steak, or it would have been a big problem. I'll say that, let's do this. We got calls coming in. Nick in Boise, Jamie in Tampa. Stick with us. We'll make fun of man for another day. More draft talk. And even though Greg can't stand the Falcons because he's a Saints fan, I've got little advice for Atlanta and their draft day strategy. We'll take those calls, and I'll give you that approach next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Writer with you. Happy NFL draft day. It's exciting. A lot going on. A lot of uncertainty. 855-212-4CBS. Just remember, sometimes the quarterbacks that fall are the quarterbacks that actually eventually rise up. Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, to a degree, Deshaun Watson, which is always a weird example to bring up because I'm separating the historical reality of his excellence from the current reality of the ugliness attached to him. You're going to have some quarterback who might fall today, and maybe that'll be the gem. It happens. It happens a lot. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to the home of the defending champions. Let's go to Tampa. Jamie, what up, dude? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, that's right, Rod. I'm calling in from Tampa Bay. But by the way, man, I'm still, dude, they're still talking about how we put some Kansas City butt in the big game back in February. They're still talking about it down here.
Yeah, I'd be making T-shirts and wearing those around for at least a decade, my friend. You guys did own that team,
dude. So speaking of which, I know we're getting Brady back. That's a given. I know we're keeping Brady around. But who do you think we're gonna get tonight? I never know when the Bucks are gonna do their draft. I can never tell because it happens all so fast. But who do you think we're getting tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, last pick in the draft. You get 32. I mean, he's got to be there. I think he will. I think Najee Harris makes a lot of sense. Super talented. And I'm pretty, in fact, I am sure, because I looked it up this morning. Giovanni Bernard, Leonard Fournette, and Ronald Jones are all free agents in 2022. You're gonna pull the Kansas City Chiefs, do the exact same thing. The most talented running back, and maybe even, if one of these guys that are projected as a top 12 pick who are wide receivers fall, you're going to get a skills player. You're just going to you're going to say to yourselves, that front office is going to say to itself correctly, you know what? We've got Tom Brady. Who knows how long it's going to last? Let's load him up with talent. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are defending champions, are probably going to give Tom Brady more help than the Packers are going to give a disgruntled Aaron Rodgers. Think about that. That's another, like, where do the Packers draft? 29? They're probably going to draft an offensive lineman, and it's not going to feel like enough. It doesn't matter who the Packers draft. If they don't draft a receiver, Aaron Rodgers is going to give some morbid comment on Twitter or Instagram or Jeopardy. I guess he's not doing Jeopardy anymore. By the way, here's some crazy breaking news. Have you noticed that other filling guests can also, like, read from a teleprompter? Who knew Anderson Cooper could read from a teleprompter? Is he a genius now, too? My gosh. Although, hey, Anderson Cooper, I like, not on Jeopardy. This is neat. Yeah, bro, it was neat until you started talking. All right, anyway, 855-2124-CBS. Let me offer a little advice to Atlanta. And who knows what the Falcons are going to do at 4. What we do know about what's going to happen in 2021 is this. They are rebuilding. Julio Jones is probably going to get traded. Matt Ryan is not long for that organization, but he may be there a little longer than he otherwise would be because of the cap reality. If whoever falls to you at 4 does not feel like the right quarterback, and again, this comes down to an evaluation, an organization's big board, and how good they are doing those evaluations. But if you don't rate Trey Lance as highly as you do Mac Jones, or you don't rate Mac Jones as highly as you do Trey Lance, and the guy that you think is a difference maker goes at 3 and at 4, you're just looking at what do? You don't have to draft a quarterback. You're not competing for 2 or 3 years. Draft Kyle Pitts, have an all-world tight end ready to go, trade Julio Jones, lose a bunch of games this year, draft in the top 3 or 4 next year, and get a quarterback next year. You don't have to fix the Falcons. You can't fix the Falcons today. Do not draft for need when you're a rebuilding football team. Don't do it. Draft for talent. Now, if you think the talent's there, if you really believe that Trey Lance is the guy, and if the Niners really take Mac Jones at 3, right, because it's going to go Trevor Lawrence, it's going to go Zach Wilson. If it goes Mac Jones at 3, or you think Justin Fields is the guy, which, by the way, I wouldn't hate, get him. Chiefs didn't need a quarterback when they went up and they got Mahomes. And they're champions. A bunch of teams that needed quarterbacks passed the next year, 2018, on Lamar Jackson. And now that is a contender. They haven't won a Super Bowl, but that guy's an MVP, former MVP, and they've won, what, 14 games at one stretch with him? I mean, sometimes it's about who the right player is, not the fit. The Bears needed a quarterback. They went up to 2, and they got Mitchell Trubisky. You got to be calm. You got to really tune out the groupthink that's out there. It's amazing to me at every level, and really the higher levels, how much the fear of ridicule creates the decisions that lead to ridicule. It's so true in my business. I'm always struck by this when I gather with fellow radio hosts, sports writers, whatever it is, the degree to which those folks are so concerned with showcasing to their colleagues how smart that they are that they don't listen, and therefore they don't come off as that smart. And it's true with GMs as well. It does not matter what the assessment is tonight. Doesn't matter what I say tomorrow. Doesn't matter what anybody says tomorrow about the draft. Doesn't matter. We're going to do it. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be fun. It has no significance. What is significant is how reality plays out. And those of you that are married understand this. There's a difference between impressing your buddies on your wedding day and having a happy life, right? I know people that have literally gotten married largely based on what they thought would make them look cool or successful. She looks great in a dress, man. She's so hot. And look, you should be attracted to your wife. I got it. A lot of beautiful women in the world. Doesn't mean you should marry most of them. Same is true for quarterbacks. Who cares about winning the press conference? One of the nicest weddings I ever went to ended with her leaving him for another her, and now he's like an alcoholic somewhere. That's a true story. It's an awful story. And my point is this. It's not a fairy tale, man. It's real life, especially for these NFL teams. Draft the right person, not what everybody else can be impressed by on draft day. Also, it took a little dark turn, didn't it? Life's weird is my point. Can't always call it based on what you see, my point. Good for her, though. I think she's happy. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. All right, I've got a historical insight. The 1999 draft and what it says about this one next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
What's going on? Happy Thursday. Happy NFL draft day. Bill Ryder with you. Fortunes and futures will be made and broken tonight. Pretty exciting stuff. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. And you can give us a call, 855-212-4CBS. A few of you on the line, stick with us. We'll get to you here in a few minutes. A lot of talent in this draft. A lot of skilled players. Obviously, a good number of quarterbacks. There will almost certainly be five quarterbacks taken in the first round, and maybe much higher than just the first round. Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one overall. It would be amazing if the Jets just drafted like Justin Fields at number two and sent the whole draft into chaos. I don't bring it up too much because A, I don't think they can draft the right quarterback, and which I think that would be, and B, you don't want to root for something that magical in the universe for fear that you'll snuff out the remote possibility it can happen. Just to have some GMs spontaneously combust on their Zooms just turns to glitter. Kyle Shanahan just turns to glitter. Someone else has to make the pick. So presumably Zach Wilson will go two to the Jets. And then, you know, we've got the decision at three. It could be Mac Jones. It could be Trey Lance. It still could be Justin Fields. It's five QBs. Absolutely taken in not just the first round, but maybe if Atlanta takes... If Atlanta takes a quarterback at four, if the right quarterback falls to them or they're hell-bent on it, you're probably going to have five quarterbacks in the top 12. You can have somebody at a minimum come up, maybe the Patriots, and get who's there. Maybe Mac Jones falls, and so it suppresses where that fifth quarterback goes. But if Mac Jones goes at three, there's a real chance that someone's going to come up and get Trey Lance or Justin Fields. The Patriots can do it. A lot of teams could do it. The Broncos need a quarterback, obviously. And the right comparison is 1999. And it offers, I think, that draft a stark warning. A really stark warning, not just for the quarterbacks that are likely to disappoint. And I don't know Jim Trotter well at all. In fact, I don't know him at all. The NFL Network, NFL guru. But he was on this mock draft we did for our friend Therese Paylor. And I didn't know that Jim knew Therese well. He did. I knew Therese well. I thought Jim was, you know, we all sort of spoke. I didn't speak a lot. I get a little emotional talking about it. But, as did some other guys, Jim was composed and got through it and spoke about Therese in such an amazing and accurate way. And it was beautiful. And Jim said that he doesn't like mock drafts, and I think he said they're dumb, and he'd only be here for Therese, which I loved. I could hear Therese somewhere going, oh, the way that he used to laugh up above. And Trotter made a really interesting comment that I think the 1999 draft illuminates. He said, you know, and it was later in the draft where he selected, I can't remember who, I think he picked for the Saints. I can't remember who he picked. He said, you know, it always... And I'm quoting him badly, but he said, it always bothers me that the guy teams draft for position. They should just draft for talent at the top of the draft. It's that simple. And you're going to see that mistake with so many teams that take quarterbacks. You know, the implication being a lot of these quarterbacks aren't going to work out, and a lot of the players who aren't drafted will. And again, 1999. Let me give you some of the insights here. As a warning, not just against those GMs, but those of us that love this stuff, that are excited about tonight, getting too carried away. I hate it when, and it'll probably happen tomorrow. Who do we have on tomorrow? On the show, Tom?
Jonathan Jones.
Well, he's great. He won't do it. But a lot of guys that I like will be like, you know, I'll go through five quarterbacks. he's going to work for this. They're all going to work. Every player drafted in the first three rounds are going to be a Hall of Famer? It's the greatest draft in NFL history? No, it's not. 1999, the number one pick overall. The top three picks were quarterbacks. Five of the top 12 were quarterbacks. It literally could go that way this year, this exact year. And this should go without saying, but if you're the number one pick in the draft, there is surety, at least by that organization and by a lot of folks, because groupthink is strong, that person's going to succeed. And let me say this, too, before I give you these names. 2001, quarterbacks are highly valued, and therefore it devalues other players, and therefore it probably makes, and by probably I mean absolutely makes some teams reach when they shouldn't for quarterbacks. It wasn't true in 1999. For the top three picks to be quarterbacks, and five of the top 12 picks to be quarterbacks, these guys had to be even more highly regarded relative to the value of quarterbacks in that year than this year. Number one was Tim Couch. Browns. Did not work out. Did not work out. Number two was my friend Donovan McNabb. Not only did it work out, now I don't think Donovan is a Hall of Famer, but he's a borderline Hall of Famer. He came close. It's an amazing career. He got booed. It was not a popular pick, you idiots in Philadelphia. Boo! We did it right. We suck, even though we don't. Boo! By the way, poor Donovan. He's such a sensitive guy. He really, like, I didn't know then what I know now, to quote Bob Seger, against the wind, and I wish I didn't. How sensitive and sweet a guy Donovan is, that probably keeps him up at night. Remember Achille Smith? Remember that guy? Remember that dude? That guy was drafted number three overall by the Cincinnati Bengals. So you got two of the three are absolute busts. Not sorta, not, you know, had a career bust. Dante Culpepper went 11. Successful career. Good career. Cade McNown went 12. Not a great career. Not all these guys are going to work out. I don't want to just be dispiriting to the hopes and dreams of young people. Not everything's going to work out. If you went to college like I did, you had a graduation. And I went to sort of an oxymoron now, an ambitious journalism school. I went to a really ambitious typewriter-making school. I was the third best typewriter maker. Some idiots wanted to work for IBM, but we knew what to do. But I did. I went to a pretty ambitious journalism school. And every kid that graduated from that school that, you know, got a job thought they were going to be successful. Here's the deal. Not everybody's successful. It doesn't work that way. I think Trevor Lawrence is much less of a sure thing than other people. I think he's not 99.9. I think he's 91. I think it's high. I think it's higher than probably everybody else. But Urban Meyer in his own dysfunction, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that Trevor Lawrence is investing in Bitcoin. I just make sure you hang on to some of that money. Man, Bitcoin's a thing, isn't it? 1999 tells the tale, and I haven't even told you the most incredible part, because Kelly Smith drafted at 3, right? Dante Culpepper drafted at 11. Using my amazing math skills, that tells me there's 8 picks in there. Here are 4 players that were drafted. Like the 4 that were drafted after Achilles Smith. Every one of these guys are either Hall of Famers or Hall of Fame talents. Edgerrin James, Ricky Williams, Torrey Holt, Champ Bailey. Think about that. Even then, this obsession with quarterbacks, the way that the echo chamber becomes, in your own mind's eye, the voice of God speaking into your righteous right ear, warp the ability for people that are trained for a living and studying and knowing football to see accurately what was already on tape. Torrey Holt, Champ Bailey, Ricky Williams, Edgerrin James. Drafted after Tim Couch and Achille Smith. By the way, I love Donovan. Love Donovan. Donovan didn't have the ultimate success. Now, I think that's a successful pick. I mean, where do you draw the line? Andrew Luck was, of course, a no-brainer pick for the Colts, and it worked. And he's the argument for Trevor Lawrence, right? He's the argument that there's some talent that are so sure it's going to work. But even some of the sure things don't work all the time. They just don't. And Dante Culpepper's a reminder that there are going to be guys who are going to find themselves in pretty good situations and have fine careers. Trey Lance hasn't played football in a really, really long time. Mac Jones played for a football team that was awash in talent. And we have a very, I think, credible comp to what it is to play under center at that team, in that system, for that culture, with that level of talent, and his name is Tua Tagovailoa. And he certainly hasn't blown the NFL away. And also didn't need to be rushed. Was, maybe, but didn't need to be. Here's some breaking news about Justin Fields against Trevor Lawrence and other players. He's won some fairly significant football games in his career. I don't know if you knew that. You know. He's won some big games, man. And none of it registers. None of it seems to matter to anybody. There are going to be a ton of mistakes. There are going to be a ton of mistakes tonight. For me, I'm taking Trevor Lawrence, number one overall. And look, give Trevor Lawrence credit. What I'm about to suggest is not a good idea. I understand that it would break, but it's happened. If I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm strongly considering just pulling an Eli and just being like, I will not play for the Jags or the Jets. The end of story. Won't do it. Not going to do it. I've got beautiful hair, and I'll just take a year off and surf. Because Trevor Lawrence to the Niners would be a raging success. Now, Trevor Lawrence probably thinks that he's going to be really successful at Jacksonville because all these college coaches are going to speak up for Urban Meyer. And why wouldn't they? Urban is blazing a trail that leads to a pot of gold. There aren't such a thing as rainbows, but if you can convince people that there are, maybe you can get your pot of gold. But in what universe does Trevor Lawrence think that Urban Meyer is a sure thing? I'm drafting Trevor Lawrence first, but I think after that, and Josh Allen just proves this rule, and Patrick Mahomes just proves this rule. I understand there's quarterbacks who have had questions at the level they competed at or the way they competed at the correct level in college where they go to the right situation and they're successful. Justin Herbert. But I'm drafting Justin Fields. I just am. Like, I'm drafting the winner. He's athletic. And I think there's a really, really interesting Deshaun Watson comparison in a football sense. We appreciate him right up until we start to evaluate the wrong things and try to outthink the game. I'll use the marriage thing again. You don't need to spend, if you need to spend 4 weeks with your buddies doing like a deep analysis dive and making lists about which of the two girls you should marry, you shouldn't marry either of them. Like, at a certain point, if you're in the business of the National Football League and you love the game and you've, you know, paid attention, you should have a pretty, the Niners, like, we really needed 9 weeks to make an evaluation. Really? I want to be the IKEA guy from Instagram. Have you seen this, Tom? It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's pretty perfect.
I want that guy to come on and just talk down to GMs. You know, the quantum realm, Kyle, is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I don't understand the data around Justin Fields. I don't get it. All right, 855-212-4CBS. I promise these calls. Let's get to them. Keith in Tucson, what's up, buddy? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing today, sir?
I am doing beautiful, my man. How are you?
I'm blessed every day. You know, I think them Niners are going to take Trey Lance with that pick. I'm hoping, at least.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, I mean, it can't be as on the nose and as straightforward as Mac, right? Because we've heard Mac feel like it can't be. And again, was anyone else pining to come up and get Mac Jones? I mean, especially if Atlanta, and we don't know, right? I guess there's the fear that if you wait till after four, that maybe. But do you really believe if the Niners hadn't come up that Mac Jones was going to go three or four? I don't. I do too. I also think it could be Trey Lance. It makes sense. Although, to be fair, Kyle Shanahan. I played that clip for my wife, Lori, the Kyle Shanahan, you know, he could be dead. And Lori said, oh, that, who did, like, we do bits? Who did that? Like, what do you mean, who did that? Whose voice is that? It's Kyle Shanahan, the coach of the Niners. No, I know that's what you guys are pretending, but, like, who actually said that? Was that Tom? No, Lori, that the head coach of the Niners. She's like, why would he say that everybody could be dead? Does he want the guy to be dead? I don't know, man. I don't know. I gotta go sleep. I got the vaccine. I don't know what's happening. Maybe he was having a hallucination like I am right now. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Let's do this. Tom and Bogush and I will tell you who we think we pick third overall and who we would pick third overall. Those are two different answers. And we'll give you the chance to do the same thing at 855-212-4CBS. Next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
I think it's New York Magazine did this amazing think piece, I guess, on Kanye and Kim's breakup. And it's the smartest thing I've ever read on pop culture. The way in which it sort of encapsulates the power of Kim's brand and the reason that all the people, I guess the highfalutin society culture people at Vogue looked down on her, actually spoke to their inability to understand things as they were. And reading it, it reminded me of the NFL draft and just the way people miss the obvious because they're so convinced that they have to sound like everybody at their that there's the cocktail parties they hang out at, you know? Super smart. And the reason I thought of that is my lifetime dream. I'm not kidding. My lifetime musical dream is a collaborative record between Bob Seger and Kanye. I know it sounds insane, but somebody somewhere once said to themselves, I need to take the stuff we make when we break up the peanuts, the peanut butter, and the other stuff we make when we take the cocoa beans, the chocolate. And I got to put that. I mean, who thought of peanut butter and chocolate, right? Who knew? There's lots of great condiments. They don't go together. You ever had ketchup and peanut butter? Me either, but I want to be sick just thinking about it. Most of them don't work. There's magic out there. Bob Seger and Kanye, I need it. Can you imagine? Kanye, like, laying in a little vibe on Against the Wind? Totally in. I'm the only one on earth. I've been saying this on the radio for like 7 years. I had a co-host who literally would make a face that I thought she was having like a panic attack. Oh, you just don't like Kanye. Got it. Or Bob Seger. Understood. Or my general taste on anything. Roger that. All right. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. That was a fun show back in the day. Woo! 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Hello, Andrew Bogush. Hello, Tom DiBenedetto.
Hello, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, Andrew. I gave Tom the birthday gift that you wanted, by the way. I got him reversed. He wanted a cake. You wanted me to go away. I got those reversed because I took yesterday off, called a little sick day. It's Tom's birthday was 2 days ago. Tommy, how was the birthday? I didn't get to follow up.
It was really nice. It was really nice. Heard from a lot of people, you know. Good birthday.
You ever have, like, ex-girlfriends inappropriately reach out to you on your birthday? Like, just thinking of you, happy birthday.
Thankfully, no. I don't think so. No.
It's a weirdly specific question. All right, so let's move on. Bogus, you're shaking his head yes, but you know what? We're not even gonna put him on the spot. So at number three, guys, maybe let's go around the room. Let's start with who you think will actually be drafted, and then we'll circle back again and do who you would draft. Tom DiBenedetto, not the right decision, necessarily. What decision do you think will actually happen by the Niners tonight when they announce their selection at number three in the NFL draft?
So I think it's Trey Lance. I never believed the logic behind it being Mac Jones. I understand the reporting. I understand that is supposedly the indication. It's quite possible that the reporting is true that Kyle Shanahan likes Mac Jones, but there are others in the organization pushing him towards Lance. I just think the type of trade-up they made was for a higher upside swing than Mac. And that guy, to me, is Trey Lance, who might arguably have the highest upside of all these quarterbacks. I mean, may or may not be higher than Lawrence. Obviously, it's hard to tell. But he is a tremendous physical talent, huge arm. But he also can manage. He's intelligent. He can manage a game. That's what Kyle needs. So I think it's Lance.
Mr. Bogush. Hi, Andrew Bogush.
Oh, hi again, Bill. I think it's Mac Jones, and I understand the logic, but then part of me says the reason why they got to number three was so that they could pick whomever they wanted. Like, I don't know that they made the trade knowing exactly who their pick was at that moment. They just knew that I can't get Trevor Lawrence. We can't get Zach Wilson. We need a quarterback. I want to make sure I'm getting the guy that I want. And they just swung for the fences and got to number three right where they wanted to be. And but then I'm confused as to why they've been playing games with us, because it was Mac Jones and maybe it's Trey Lance. But I just, there's been a lot of Mac Jones fire. And I almost feel like I'd take them at their word here that it's going to be Mac Jones for some reason.
I'm with Bogus. I think it's going to be Mac Jones too, in part because the need to lie and mislead and sort of and be disruptive is eliminated when you have the top pick in the draft. There's a reason that people, they're just, it's Trevor Lawrence. There's a reason the Jets are, it's Zach Wilson. And that leaves the top uncertain pick, right? The first pick with any uncertainty being the Niners. They are not just strategically, right? In terms of their tactical approach, there's no need to lie. There's no need to for the information to be disingenuous. And so I believe what we've heard. And Tom, I think you make a great point. I believe that Shanahan wants Mac Jones and that the front office wants somebody else. I think Shanahan's going to get what he wants. And I think that's why, again, I don't think it'll be a mistake. I think whoever goes there will be successful. But I think it will create a lot of that my view presumes that Shanahan knows what he's doing. And Shanahan being under massive pressure for the first time, where it's you are this decision, this single decision, will be how we evaluate whether everything we've said about you for the last decade is real. I think that's going to be interesting to watch him navigate. I too think it will be Mac Jones. Tom, if Kyle Shanahan called you up right now and said, look, dude, I just realized that anyone could be dead by Sunday, and I love the show, and I'm just having this crisis, and I need you, Tommy Tie Ties, to Benedetto, newly minted as a 32-year-old, to make the decision. Who are you, Tom, drafting at number three?
I would be sprinting in the Justin Fields card, sprinting it in. To me, it's really tough to call at number two between Wilson and Fields. Really tough. I think Wilson is a slightly safer pick, and I think that's actually the biggest reason why the Jets are going to make it. They can't have another disaster. Fields had some rough low points, but the upside is tremendous. I don't think the comp to Deshaun Watson is crazy at all. And what he could become in that offense, it seems like to me an absolutely perfect fit. So Fields.
Mr. Bogish, the man behind Truth or Bogish, the greatest bit in radio history. Who do you think Roger Goodell will actually say? Whose name will he speak when he announces the Niners selection?
It's, well, this is now who I would pick, right?
Who it not who, be.
So,
Total, no,
yeah,
you don't
who it should
opinion.
Be. Well,
just kidding. I just
it up. Should not be Mac Jones. Let me start there. It should not be
You're
Mac
down
Jones.
On Mac.
And then I can be convinced on Fields or Trey Lance. And kind of like Tom, I actually think that Fields should be the second pick. And then this conversation should be Wilson versus Trey Lance. But either way, I would take the Trey Lance gamble here. I don't want to be wrong about Trey Lance. I don't want to be the guy that didn't take him when he could have, and Trey Lance goes and maxes out Trey Lance potential somewhere else. I could survive, I think, missing out on Zach Wilson, on Justin Fields, certainly Mac Jones. I'd be really, really mad at myself 10 years from now if I didn't pick Trey Lance and I could have. So I'd take Trey Lance, especially because I think Jimmy G can play for another year and there's no rush to get Lance on the field. And then in 2022, after a year of seasoning, he's my guy and we go from there. So I would take Trey tonight.
Before I give you my pick, would either of you like to change your answer to Mac Jones, knowing that you are passing on the opportunity for the nickname Big Mac and just the constant another Big Mac when he throws a touchdown? I mean, going away.
It's a good point, but I'm good. I'll stay where I am.
It is a good point.
No.
Salient. Yeah. Okay. I understand. I'm with Tom. I would go Justin Fields. The Trey Lance thing. The thing about Trey Lance, about guys like us making a decision, with all respect to those of us that have watched tape, is the ability to make an assessment on Trey Lance is a much more difficult ability because of the level of competition that he has gone up against. And so I think it narrows in what is already a field of study, right? Studying quarterbacks specifically, that is wrought with mistakes and errors and the inability to consistently get it right, even if you're one of the people, one of the 32 people who make that decision, have staffs that are paid full-time money. They support their families and good lives and the American dream to help you make that decision. It's even harder with Trey Lance. Like, you know, if I don't know what the percentage is, but if you think, I don't think it's as high, but if the quarterback hit rate in the first round is even 50%, which it's not, for a guy like Trey Lance, it's 30% or it's 20% because of the level of competition he's playing against first and how long it's been since he played. So it's just really hard to make an evaluation, and I certainly am not qualified to do that. And so I'm gonna hedge my bets, right? I think it's a higher percentage of success with Justin Fields just because I know he's had lows, but he's played against NFL talent. Trey Lance hasn't, and he's going to have lows. I mean, the whole, like, he's got to sit out thing for a year is because he's probably not ready because he hasn't competed, and that presumes he'll get ready. Now, that presumption may play out, but I just don't know. And I'm not sold on Zach Wilson, by the way. I'm just not. Was that you, Andrew, who made the point you'd take Justin Fields at two? Whoever made it, that's where I'm at. You're right. I think, Bogus, yeah. You're right.
And I think Tom said that he feels that Wilson is safer, and there's no signs behind this. Wilson, to me, is the one that is the most primed to not be good. I don't know where that comes from inside of me. I just, and again, I said this the other day on DA's show, I was so bothered by the Zach Wilson is Trevor Lawrence conversation that maybe I'm now just holding it against Zach Wilson too much. People thought that he was closer to Trevor Lawrence than he was to the other three guys. But I just, like, to me, he's the guy that might just be crazy and go off the board, and the Jets are still in the same spot where they've been for forever now because he doesn't pan out either. So I'd want to kind of stay away from him, too, if I had the chance, and Justin Fields would be that chance to stay away from Zach Wilson at number two.
The Jets, by the way, like, they're not going to do this, but the Jets are such bad decision makers that they should actually be in a position where they don't have a decision to make. They should be trading down to whatever spot the quarterback who's not Mac Jones falls to them so that they get extra picks and then draft the right quarterback on accident. That's what they should. Let someone else draft Zach Wilson to make a mistake. You go get Justin Fields at four or five. I'm with you. I think my bias is such that, and my bias is going to showcase that I was even more wrong than the people I'm about to criticize, but I was such a Josh Rosen guy when that draft happened that I thought people were just the Sam Darnold's a sure thing starter, upside star ceiling, you know, a consistent starter in the NFL and just so much talent and the guy can't not succeed. That didn't work out. I've seen this story before. You know, maybe not the best guy, but maybe he is. And then Baker Mayfield was not a consensus top two quarterback in that draft until 5 weeks before and then the group thing, not even 2 weeks, then the whole group thing. Oh, wait, one, there's a, by the way, I bet Bill Belichick did this. The Patriots like Baker Mayfield. Bill Belichick probably picked up his phone and called the journals for like once a year, like off the record, really like Baker Mayfield. I just hope we can get him. I don't know if we'll be able to move up. And then that went out there, and everyone's like, Baker Mayfield's so good. I've seen this story before. I have no confidence in the Jets, and I have a little bit less in Zach Wilson.
And I'd say if I had to peg him somewhere, I would say Zach Wilson is something between Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray as a prospect, which is a very good prospect. But is that guy going to succeed on the current iteration of the New York Jets?
Would we call him talented? I don't know. And that's the thing about the Jets is this whole notion. Who said it on the air? Was it Will Brinson? I like the Jets culture now. You do? Why? Like, I gotta, to quote an old senator from the state that I lived in for a long time, I'm from the show me state, sir. You've got to show me. You gotta show me. I don't believe it. All right. It's a good amount of negativity there. We injected it. And I got nothing against the Jets. I'm all about the Jets being good.
Oh, no, they've earned this conversation. They've earned this.
I mean, this is circular. The Jets are a circular conversation. Now, Baker Mayfield did break through as it relates to sort of the Browns being quarterback killers. But let's be honest, even though John Dorsey's not there anymore, they loaded up so much talent on that roster, it would be hard not to be successful. So ironically, in a lot of ways, again, I don't know if Baker Mayfield made the Browns so much as the Browns made Baker Mayfield not a failure, which is its own crazy reminder that in the NFL, things can change. Historical facts and facts from the year before. Bogus, have you seen Angry IKEA Guy?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I think I watched it 15 times yesterday. I'm late to it. It's on TikTok. It's a comedian. I think he's a comedian out of Baltimore. I don't even know the guy's name. So I worked at Walmart for all of high school in Dubuque, Iowa, and for a chunk of time in Kansas City in college. So I can, maybe it's funnier to me, but it's basically him. It's him presenting what customers say at these retail stores and then responding aggressively and accurately. There's one where someone's like, I want to talk to the manager. I want to talk to your mother for raising a baby. A person reacts like a baby in public. Then he says it's true. Talk to the manager. The manager doesn't know what's going on. Have you ever worked anywhere? It's so true.
There's like this angry music comes up behind it every time he gets like mad and he like rises up.
I'm going to send it to you. You're going to love it. It actually reminded me of you. It was you if you ever snapped. Like you could do one of these on CBS Sports Radio. Truth or bogus? Let me tell you what's bogus, Ryder. Your face. I mean, it's just amazing.
I want to know about you working at Walmart in two different states. Now, do you ask for a transfer in that situation, or you just show up in the second state and apply like you're not so Walmart legacy?
It was a little cult-like. Like, this is not me bragging. This is me making fun of myself and making fun of Walmart. But I lived in Dubuque, Iowa, and I did not date the hot girls at my high school. But I was, like, funny, and I was, like, the cool guy at the Walmart. Like, who cares, right? And there was one super hot girl named Amy who was 2 or 3 years. She was in college when I was in high school. And one day I'm just like, I'm going to ask her out because I'm a cool Walmart guy. And to my great shock, in the juice aisle, she handed me like a Gatorade. It's like, I'll go out with you. I dated the girl for 2 years. People would be like, what happened? I'm like, Walmart, baby. Get a job there and work on the floor and just have a lot of personality. Literally, I took her to my high school prom and everyone's like, well, nice job, Ryder. Like, yeah, thanks, Walmart. What's going on? Almost wore my Walmart smock to the high school prom just to make sure the night went well. I mean, this is a true story. So that's it. I worked there. My parents made me work 30 to 40 hours a week starting when I was like 15. 15, I'd have a part-time. I did the high school paper, tennis, and like 30 hours a week at Walmart when I was in high school. Mom and Dad did not continue that with Bob and Kath. That's a lot of work, Bill. Yeah, I know.
That's not fair.
I know it's a lot of work. You made me do it. What do you mean? Catherine doesn't need a job. I drove a Toyota Tercel. I think my sister drove it, and she wasn't a BMW, but it was a nice car. Anyway, you just took me down a real bitter path. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, sorry about
that. I got to date Amy. That was a nice little. And by the way, true story, I broke up with her. I wasn't very nice about it. Tried to get her back. She said no. She went and dated a guy younger than me at Walmart. And now they're married somewhere, like within a happy life. I swear to God.
So her thing is younger Walmart colleagues?
It was. Hello, Amy and Nate. They're somewhere in like Iowa. I don't know. I don't think she likes me. But hi, guys. What's going on if you listen to the show? I mean, seriously. Walmart is a gift that gives in ways you just can't. Young people, I don't know if it's still true. Maybe today it's IKEA or Costco that presents this magical opportunity. But yeah, I dated a woman when I was in high school because of Walmart. Yeah? Because I could put the Oreos away quicker than other dudes. This is a true story. Got skills. Gotta stock those Snickers. All right. I went down that memory lane.
Yeah, that was my fault.
No, it's magic. It's magic. Actually, I met another girl at Walmart when I worked at the Walmart, and just some girl, like, I carried her plants to her car. She came back and asked me out, which never happens. Looking back, Walmart, the key to all success with the ladies. Bogus, now that we've gotten that out of the way, I haven't stepped in a Walmart in 20 years.
I'll do some headlines?
Yeah, let's do it. You want more of this?
Sure.
Okay.
In a minute. First, it's all sponsored by 5-Hour Energy, the official sponsor of Getting Stuff Done. Want you to enter to win instant cash prizes. Find out how at 5hewin.com. Cleveland Browns GM Andrew Berry already having a good day long before the draft starts. The Berry family just welcomed baby daughter Eden to the world. The Saints front office reportedly busy exploring a trade up from number 28. They might go as high as the top 10, maybe targeting a cornerback, and the Niners expected to get multiple calls about Jimmy Garoppolo's availability. The QB will reportedly stay put, barring an overwhelming offer. This is why Chris Paul has long been considered the Julius Randle of the West.
Out it comes now to Chris Paul. 10 seconds on the shot clock. Paul on the drive. 16-footer straight away. Good. Oh, key hoop. Chris Paul with 22. 101-94.
That's Al McCoy on Suns Radio. Paul had 28 plus 10 assists as the Suns beat the Clippers 109-101, ending their 11-year playoff drought. As for Randle, he had 34 in the Knicks' 113-94 home win over the Bulls. New York has won 10 of 11. The Sixers also have a playoff spot this morning after thumping the Hawks 123-87. The Jazz destroyed the Kings 154-105, and the Heat beat the Spurs 116-111. That's regular season win number 600 for Eric Spoelstra. He is the sixth coach to get there with just one team. Baseball last night, the Padres won in Arizona 12-3. The Giants down the Rockies 7-3. They've won 8 of 11. And the Cub losing streak hit 5 with a 10-0 loss in Atlanta. Three position players, including Anthony Rizzo, pitched for Chicago. The Astros scored 4 in the 8th to beat the Mariners 7-5. And the Rays beat the A's 2-0. And RB Leipzig is hiring American Jesse Marsh as its new manager starting next season. He replaces Julian Nagelsmann, who is taking the Bayern job. Marsh in charge right now at FC Salzburg after running Montreal and the Red Bulls in MLS. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, big breakthrough here. Where was your high school job? Real quick.
My high school job was Sports Authority. That was at the very end of high school.
And Tom?
I had a few, but I will go at a lake. A lake club.
Yeah, the lake wasn't in the pond.
It wasn't in the lake. It was a club. I had a couple jobs there. I'll go with that one. I worked there the most.
855-212-4 CBS. I was gonna ask the romantic interludes, but you know what? I'm not even gonna go there. All you need to know is that if you're young and you're looking to meet the ladies and you can't sing and start a rock band, go work at Walmart. That's what
I had an unrequited love at that lake job. So
you did?
Yeah.
Unrequited.
Never reciprocated, but there was a love story there.
Her loss. Do you want to tell it next week?
No.
Okay. I'm glad we got there. I'm glad we got there, though. In the end, we all can share. Bogus literally left the screen. I can see his arm. I know he's there, but he's hiding. Andrew, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I know we'll hear some updates, and we'll chat about what happens in the actual draft. Very quickly, let's hit a few things from sports that are not the NFL draft in Buy or Sell next on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, the Wizards have managed to win again, defeating the Lakers at home last night to continue their reign of terror over the Western Conference's top team. Somehow, they have now swept season series with the Lakers, Jazz, and Nuggets and are 8-2 on the year against top five West seeds. Washington has won 11 of their last 13 overall and is solidly in the 10th place position in the East, prime for a play-in opportunity. Buy or sell, the Wizards could actually do damage in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I'm feeling optimistic. I'm feeling hopeful. I'm feeling good about life. Hell yeah.
Buy.
Let's buy this thing. I love the way that Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook love playing together, and that's real, and I think it's really significant. I do not think Russell Westbrook is a player whose greatness, and it's greatness, translates to the postseason. I do think Bradley Beals does in a very serious way. We just haven't been able to experience it. And so for me, the difference maker on that tension is, do these guys get along with each other? They do. There's optimism. It's house money at this point. It's an unlikelihood they're going to get there. But if they do, I think they could wreak some havoc. Yes, absolutely.
Last night's highly entertaining Pelicans-Nuggets game ended in controversy as Nikola Jokic denied Zion Williamson at the rim in the final seconds to seal a big Denver win. Upon further review, it appeared that Jokic may have gotten slightly more than just the ball with his game-saving swat, and afterwards Zion vented about the no-call.
They didn't call it. There's not much I can do about that. Just got to learn from it and, you know, just finish it next time. I got to earn my respect. I'm only in year two. Got to get a couple more years under my belt and, you know, hopefully things change with that.
Buy or sell, Zion has a valid beef and the SWAT should have been a foul.
I sell it. I'm not mad at Zion. It's a good answer. Just don't go down that road or you'll be crying, Williamson. We don't want that. We like Zion Williamson as your actual name. I don't think it was a foul. I think it was a bang-bang play. I know it was close. You got to let that stand. It was great defense by Jokic. It is what it is. Somebody's got to lose. Don't be embarrassed, but please don't play the ref card. I've seen bad calls. I've seen calls that have changed games and really destinies. That's not one of them.
Pete Carroll and John Schneider spoke to the media yesterday, and Pete had a very clear message. There is no lingering drama between the organization and their star quarterback, Russell Wilson.
Things are said, and sometimes you have to deal with stuff, and that's how we take care of our business. And we're in a fantastic place right now, and really excited about this team and this season and this draft coming up and all of that. Russ has been our quarterback for a good while, and we've got a long contract with him. And when all of the conversation went about trades and all that, I knew what the truth was. We weren't trading Russell. And so, we plan on him being here for a good while. I don't know how many years it is now, but we're in great shape.
Buy or sell, you believe the hatchet has really been buried and everything is fine between Russ and the Seahawks.
Since we can't do a sound for awkward silence, I'll just sell.
Sell.
You know what it sounds like when someone's lying to you about their life? Like, you know, you bump into somebody like, yeah, Jerry and Susan are not doing well. Like, oh, that's too bad. And you walk three blocks and you say, oh, hey, Jerry, how's Susan? We're great. Everything's fine. Nothing's bad. The marriage is great. I did not sleep on the couch. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. That's how Pete Carroll sounded to me. A little frantic, a little over the top, and a little worried. I don't think things are okay. Winning, though, heals a lot of problems. And if things on the field go well this year, maybe we'll get there. I don't think we're there yet.
So the tantalizing quarterback prospect Trey Lance joined Jim Rome yesterday and managed to impress with his maturity and intelligence, discussing his fascination with the human mind and how mentality impacts athletes. He even discussed a book you talk about often on this program, The Inner Game of Tennis. Take a listen.
I'm reading The Inner Game of Tennis, and I just finished Blink. But I love reading about that type of stuff. Mindset is huge, and just learning about the brain. I'm kind of a little bit of a nerd about it. But it's interesting to me, and it's fun to learn about. So for me, you know, how you approach the game, how you approach, you know, every single day, I think has a huge impact on not only, you know, your life, but also the people around you.
Buy or sell, that response now makes Lance your favorite prospect in this draft.
Hell yes, it does.
Buy.
I know I play tennis and nobody cares except you tennis players, but The Inner Game of Tennis is not a book about tennis, even though it's told through tennis. It's a game about the ability to basically let your subconscious and your self-confidence take over in critical situations, and why when you're playing sports, those automatic moments where you don't have time to think or you go in the zone, there's actually some science and some psychology behind it. It is a great book, and really just for success, for your career, for perspective, it's really awesome.
Quickly, last one. Your beloved Barcelona have a giant game against Granada today at 1 p.m. Eastern. If they win, they go to first place in La Liga with just 5 games remaining. Buy or sell, Barca will be leading La Liga by the end of the afternoon.
Let's go optimism, baby.
Buy.
These teams don't like each other. They do not like each other. But Barca's got so much momentum. Real Madrid is beat up. Atletico Madrid is emotionally beat up. Barcelona, baby, let's go. And my wife is in love with soccer. It's the only sport she's ever watched with me where she cares. Lori just sounding like a drunken sailor when something bad happens is amazing. I love it. All right, have a wonderful rest of your day. NFL draft is going to be, as we've talked about for most of these 2 hours, analyzing and fascinating, and I cannot wait. We will hit every angle of it tomorrow on the program. My name is Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You, and we appreciate you hanging out with us here on CBS Sports Radio.